Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins.
Flashes, champions of the Mid-American Conference.
Little trick play and a throw to Baker Mayfield to tie the game. Buried, grab by Leonard. Throw to first. Unbelievable.
Chubb will take this all the way. 92 yards.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
The Indians have won the American League pennant.
It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
I accepted it.
Gladiator. 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 Fit to fight with the gods. I'm the giant slayer. Bone shaker. Dominator. Freight train wrecking ball. I'm the gladiator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to an episode of Pass the Mic Sports Talk. I'm your host, Enzo Orlando, and alongside me is our very good friend. I've been on his show many times. He's been on our show many times. The one and only Brandon Lewis of Brandon's World. Brandon, how you doing today?
Man, I'm so excited to be here, Enzo. Coming off the Super Bowl, I know we're going to talk some NBA All-Star stuff as well. Absolutely so excited to be here.
Oh, you got that, man. I mean, the thing is about the Super Bowl is it's the last time you get to watch football for 5 months, so you get pretty down on yourself, like, hey, not having much to do on Sundays. But then again, it is one of the biggest sporting events in the world. And I got to say, this was a good game between the Rams and the Bengals. They kept it close. They gave us everything you wanted in a good Super Bowl game and just what a match it was. And let's just go in. Let me give your thoughts on how the game went.
So I said on my podcast when I did my preview on Friday, I pretty much called the way the game was going to go. I had predicted the score to be 24 to 20 Rams, scored ended up being 23 to 20. Obviously, the drug PAT by Johnny Ecker cost me that exact score prediction. But I know that there were some people that thought the Rams could potentially blow them out. They thought it was going to be high scoring. I didn't really see that. I thought Cincinnati was going to be able to run the football, which they didn't do effectively well. I thought they should have done it a little bit more. I thought early on in the game, Zach Taylor set a bad tone, but going for it, it was the first drive they had. It was fourth and one at about midfield. They go for it. They don't get it. Rams come back. Boom, Odell Beckham scores a touchdown. From that point on, it kind of felt like the Rams had momentum, even though the Bengals were winning the majority of the game. And in the second half, I mean, the game was begging for either Joe Burrow or Matthew Stafford to just take the game over. Nobody could score, it felt like, until obviously the Rams went down and scored. You could argue whether or not the referees caught the Bengals the game. Listen, I'm not a referee conspiracy theory, but as I tweeted last night, at the end of the day, I just want consistency, and I felt like that we didn't get consistency on the last drive, but then the Bengals end up getting the football back, and, you know, Aaron Donald makes a great play on fourth down, and the Rams are the champions of the world. So, overall, good game, you know, pretty good game. It's not the best Super Bowl ever. It's not the worst Super Bowl I've watched, and that's kind of how I felt going into it. So, really, no surprises on my end.
Yeah, so I was on the Here We Go Brownies podcast last Wednesday, and I predicted the winner right and the Super Bowl MVP. I predict the Rams would win. I don't remember what I said as a score, and the Super Bowl MVP ended up being Cooper Kupp, which I was correct about, and he had a good game, you know, doing everything from 8 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns, and also helping out in the run game too, because as what you saw, the Rams were struggling in the run game, only have total 43 yards. And you could say the same thing with Bengals, too. These teams really couldn't run. I mean, the Bengals' D-line, really a big improvement throughout the playoffs. They've been playing out. And, of course, you know, the Rams, Aaron Donald, an unstoppable beast, wasn't going to let the Bengals get anywhere either. So a pretty good close battle. But when it comes to the quarterbacks, I would have to say Joe Burrow did play the better game. I mean, Matt Stafford did have those 2 picks, that one in the end zone, and then that one that deflected off of, was that, I can't remember who that was off of.
Skronky. I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
Oh, Ben Skronky. To flag it off him, which that one wasn't totally his fault. Well, that wasn't good, but he still played a good game. having three touchdowns too, which really helped. I mean, it sucked to see Odell Beckham Jr. go down. I know the whole Browns narrative with him, and, you know, it was mentioned by Al Michaels on NBC. And I just want to say it's over. It's done. I mean, he's a free agent after the season, so we'll see who signs, even though he does have a torn ACL in his left leg. Again, in the same part he got hurt last time, so that's a lot for him. I mean, the sport is really taking a toll on him, and it's happened to so many athletes. So we'll see what happens about that. And then also seeing Burrow going down too, I was a little nervous, even though I wasn't really rooting for the Bengals. I like Joe Burrow. But he was able – he fought back and got up. And I believe Stafford went down too.
Yeah, at some point, you know, it looked like Stafford kind of got his ankle caught up. But, you know, I think adrenaline, you know, happens. You're in the Super Bowl, obviously. I actually did not think Joe Burrow played that well. I thought the Bengals were very conservative on offense. I think that they thought that they knew they couldn't block the Rams' defensive front. So they tried to play games. They tried to, you know, get Jalen Ramsey on a deep ball, which they ended up getting. It turns out it should have been pass interference, but it wasn't called. And then really, I mean, Burrow – there was a couple plays where, and I love Joe Burrow. I mean, watching a kid from Athens, Ohio, in his second year take a franchise that was absolutely dog water in his second year to the Super Bowl is just an absolute incredible accomplishment, no matter which way you look at it. But I didn't think the moment was too big for him. I just thought there were some throws. You know, there was a throw, late in the fourth quarter where he had Chase wide open and he just kind of skipped the ball. There were many times where he had Joe Mixon open in the flat and he either laid so it's a catch and the Rams are able to rally for a 1 or 2 yard gain, or he's late and it's incomplete. I didn't like the Rams game plan either. I'll be honest with you there. I felt like McVay's play calling was very conservative. I felt like it was very predictable. They ran the ball on almost every first down. It felt like it stretched to Cam Akers every time, which the Bengals defensive line sniffed that out, and they played better than I expected too. So very, very interesting game with two very similar styles. And so I'm sorry.
Yeah, they were. You mentioned they were very conservative. Wasn't really a big fan of either of these coaches' style. It felt like, you know, they were playing games with each other. I know Steph McVay and Zach Taylor worked together with the Rams. And so they knew how each other coached. So that's where I think some of the part of the game plan came in. And when it comes to towards the end of the game, I mean, it might have been fixed. I don't know. I just know how Roger Goodell is. And the game was good. So the NFL really wanted ratings big time. You know, they want to really just out through the Olympics, which is going on at the same time on the same network. So they wanted to have that. And it kind of, if you remember at the end of the game, you know, Goodell was, you know, really, he had a very big smile on his face that the Rams won. It was really acknowledging Stan Kroenke as well on the new $1 billion stadium they put up in LA and that they played in and how great it was. I mean, he was really kind of saying this place gets me money and so does LA, you know, having them in the football market again. But as you can tell, the Rams fans are really not into it as compared to Bengals fans were. Didn't really see much reaction to them. Did see a lot of Bengals fans saying after Super Bowl loss, very upset, disappointed and things. And I did see some Browns fans go down to Cincinnati to go cheer on the Bengals. I'm a little bit questionable about that because the Bengals are a division rival. And that's not something I would do. You like Joe Burrow and everything, but you don't have to, you know, be rooting for him and, you know, seeing him go on because, you know, he's going to be haunting us for a while now, like how Big Ben was for a long time.
For a Super Bowl crowd, I thought it was a very pedestrian crowd. It felt like 70% of the crowd were either star athletes or athletes from Los Angeles or just tourists that were looking to see out the game. Even the Cincinnati section, it was a little wild, but it was nothing big. And, you know, to get back to your point just quickly on the officiating at the end of the game, I would have not had a problem with either of those two calls the referees made because by rule, they are technically flags. However, the issue is when you don't make the call at the start of the second half, obviously with the throw from Burrow to T. Higgins over the top, which was a clear OPI on Higgins against Jalen Ramsey. And then there was a play, and I don't know why not a lot of people are talking about this play, because I'm still fixated on this play. There was a play in the first quarter where it was on the Bengals' first drive where they kicked the field goal, and Burrow throws a ball on third and goal to Jamar Chase. Jalen Ramsey grabs what appears to be the back of Jamar Chase's jersey. That's technically either holding or pass interference, whichever way you want to call it, whether the ball was in Burrow's hands or not at the time of the penalty. That would set up Cincinnati ball at the one-yard line. And instead of them kicking three, they're more than likely going to cash that in, get 7 points. And so that four-point swing there is the difference in the game. So all I'm asking for is consistency out of the officials. I feel like that we did not get it. They let the players play in the first half, which Ron Torbert's crew all season long, whether it was in the regular or postseason, did not throw many flags. You know, they were a crew that really let the players play. And then for them to throw every flag in America, it felt like, on that final drive, that's what gets me caught up. It's not that by rule they weren't flagged. It's that why weren't you calling them, you know, consistently? Like I said last night, it's like a strike zone in baseball. You know, we don't care if you call the high strike. We don't care if you call the low strike. We just want you to be consistent at where you're calling that strike.
And you're right about that, because I mean, if you watched games throughout this season, there were so many penalties throughout the regular season and in the playoffs in the first half and even in the second half too. But this game, it first penalty didn't come until like 58 minutes in, which is just so surprising because you're just so used to watching football. Like, oh, someone's a false start. Someone's offsides. Someone's in the neutral zone infraction, holding. You know, all those penalties really get looked at hard. And then this game, you weren't seeing any of them. Either the refs were making the call or the players were playing by the rules. It could have gone either way. But enough of the game. Congrats to the Rams on winning the Super Bowl. The Bengals, I have a feeling they'll be back here in the next year or so. I mean, if they get an O-line in the draft, they'll be scary. I mean, I think that's their big keyhole right now, and you saw it throughout the playoffs and in this game. Burrow was sacked 7 times and, you know, went down with a bad knee injury, but he seems to be good, so nothing too serious for him. But if they're looking towards their future, they got to go with an O-line then.
Yeah, you know, just to your point, though, I do feel like, this is just me, I feel like Baltimore, I still feel like it's like Baltimore and Cincinnati right now at the top of that division, because Baltimore was 8-3 before Lamar Jackson got hurt at the end of the season, and they had no corners at the end of the year, and all their running backs were lost in preseason. So Baltimore gets some of those pieces back. I think that they are a little bit overlooked. Pittsburgh, you know, we'll see what they do with the quarterback situation. They obviously still have good defense. And then the Browns, you know, we'll see what they do with their quarterback situation. We'll see how they upgrade the receiving core in the draft. So as of right now, I would say, yeah, Cincinnati probably favored to win the AFC North division. But this right there with the NFC West is the second toughest division in football. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And we know that the Bengals owner, Mike Brown, is not a guy that likes to spend money. If I was him, I know they have $50 million in cap room. I would spend every penny in an offensive line and try to protect your prized possession. Will they? That'll be a question we'll have to wait and see come March.
Yeah, you're right about that. I do see the Ravens still being a threat in the AFC North. Browns and Steelers, they have me question on which direction they go. It depends on how the offseason goes. But with that, we're going to get into the other things that the average person likes. Mainly the halftime show, which had Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, and Mary J. Blige. I got to say, me as a hip-hop fan, it was a pretty good entertaining halftime show. Having Snoop and Dr. Dre going up with the next level, and then a surprise appearance from 50 Cent, then going into Mary J. song, Family Affairs, then going into Kendrick Lamar's music, Eminem going up, singing Lose Yourself, good hype music for any football game, I gotta tell you that, and then them finishing off with the Still DRE, a great halftime performance, I would say one of the best, as me as a hip-hop fan, personally my favorite so far. I want to give your take on it, since I know you're not really big in the hip-hop.
Yeah, so, but I'm not really big in a modern hip-hop, this kind of Eminem, Snoop Dogg, you know, Dr. Dre, Kendrick Lamar, that's kind of my type of hip-hop, if I do have a type of hip-hop. So, you know, it was a really good halftime show, and I told you this before we started recording. I feel like it was amped up a little bit because it was anticipated, because it was in SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, Hollywood. You had to go all out, and the Super Bowl halftime shows the last couple of years have not been spectacular. So because of that, now everybody thinks it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, halftime show of all time, which is still, by the way, Prince, Super Bowl 41, sing Purple Rain in the rain in Dolphin Stadium. And that will never be defeated, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest halftime guy. I'll be honest with you. I'm not the biggest commercial guy either. I'm kind of just focused on the game, but I would say I was entertained by this year's halftime festivities.
Yeah, and so were many people. And also with Snoop, Dr. Dre, and Kendrick being from L.A. performing, so that really had been special to them. And really, they did a good job of showing, like, L.A.'s, like, culture and thing in that Super Bowl halftime show, having the low-rider 64s, the houses design looked like the ones in combat. I thought they did a good job with that, but I want to get to – I don't know if this was your favorite part, but the beginning of the game, a little bit of WWE WrestleMania kind of with The Rock coming out, getting the fans all hyped up. I was thinking, I'm like, man, did you Brandon Lewis like that? Corey Little of WWE kind of reminded me of the startup of the XFL almost.
Man, I popped so hard for Dwayne The Rock. I was like, Dwayne, now we need Roman Reigns. We need our tribal chief. Because I don't know if you know this or not, Enzo, but next year's WrestleMania, next March, a year from now, pretty much, WrestleMania is going to be taking place two nights in that SoFi Stadium. So, and there's rumors going around The Rock may be wrestling there. They're trying to work out with The Rock's schedule. So, very interesting time. But, yes, I thought it was a great opening, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was probably one of the highlights of the night, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I was very surprised by that too, seeing The Rock, but knowing it's LA and everything's gotta be over dramatic and things. As you saw, many celebrities been there, including LeBron James, Russell Wilson, all the other NFL players and stuff were there. But hey, I thought it was pretty impressive to do that. I did get a little bit of a flashback to that XFL opening that happened when the league first tried it in the late 90s, I mean.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's coming back, you know. I mean, they got so many spring leagues now, man. They got the USFL, they got the XFL. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Spring, kind of like minor leagues, I would put it the best way for the NFL if they want to get more talent. You know, two leagues that didn't work out, want to just try it again, the XFL for the third time, USFL for the second time. But, man. Can't believe football season's over, but I want to give you a brief take. What was your thoughts on the 2021 NFL season?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I was talking to somebody today, and I told them this. I said, one, I thought it was a really good season. You know, again, I think it's all, you know, personal opinion on how our football teams do overall. But I thought it was a good season. It flew. I felt like this season just flew by like any other season. The offseason was really interesting. You know, obviously we didn't know if Russell Wilson was going to get traded. We didn't know if this was Aaron Rodgers last year in Green Bay. Nobody expected it to be Tom Brady's last year in Tampa Bay, and it ends up being Brady's last season. Nobody expected the Rams to get Odell Beckham and Von Miller at the trade deadline and go on to win the Super Bowl. Nobody expected Nick Sirianni to be this charismatic guy to take the Eagles to the playoffs in his first year. Nobody expected Tennessee to, you know, do the things that they did to get the number one seed, losing Derrick Henry. Nobody expected Joe Burrow to do what he did in Cincinnati. A lot of upsets this year. Now you have the Jaguars defeating Buffalo. You had, you know, the Jets defeating, I believe it was Tennessee. I think they almost beat Cincinnati. The Browns beat Cincinnati. No,
they beat Cincinnati.
Okay,
the Jets beat Cincinnati.
And then you got the Browns beating the Bengals, obviously coming off the week that was the Odell Beckham Jr. saga week. So a lot of things happened this year. It was exciting. I think one of the best things about this year was not a lot of stars got hurt. I think that that's one thing, is most of the stars stayed healthy. And number two is the NFL season ain't done. I mean, it feels like we just got started because there's a ton of movement that's going to happen this offseason. And now it feels like the NFL is a 365-day sport. So, you know, it's not, I don't think, as big of a loss as it has been in years past. When it's like, oh, Super Bowl's over, the NFL season's over. Well, we still got a lot of free agents to play. The draft means more than ever now. They have their own scheduling day, mini camp, OTAs. I mean, this machine keeps on turning.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I do say this was pretty exciting NFL season. It did feel like it flew by. It didn't feel like that long ago. I was at the NFL draft, and now the season's already over. I mean, but from what I got to say is, like, I liked how the AFC was just so unpredictable. You didn't know which team was going to be number one seed, which team was going to the playoffs. No one thought the Bengals were going to win the division. We all remember what everyone was saying, the Ravens, the Browns, or possibly the Steelers. No one thought Tennessee would have been the number one seed, even without Derrick Henry out for majority of the season. And then no one, like you said, no one expected Braves to be final year, but I think he just kind of kept it private. I think that was a pretty good way to go. You didn't have to have all these, like, you know, like good farewells and stuff, like with Ben Roethlisberger in his final game in Pittsburgh. You didn't have to deal with all that. You did see a lot of upsets. You know, even in the playoffs too, the playoffs is probably one of the most exciting playoffs it has been in a while. The close action in these games. I mean, the upsets, Cincinnati making that miracle run. I mean, the Raiders. Who thought the Raiders were going to make the playoffs after what happened to them with John Gruden and Henry Ruggs?
The Raiders is a story, man, because I've never seen a team. They lost their coach. And then their star number one pick from 2 years ago in the draft does that unthinkable crime, and they cut their other first round pick for some gun charge. And Derek Carr had to go for all this cash. They went through COVID. They got their game rescheduled. They're down to the final play of the season against the Chargers, a game that looks like it's going to end in a tie. I mean, everything you can ask for. I still don't know how, in my opinion, Rich Bisacci didn't win Coach of the Year, because I thought that team was dead the minute the Henry Ruggs incident occurred. And credit to Derek Carr and credit to that whole organization for somehow making the playoffs and really playing Cincinnati tight in that first wild card game.
Yeah. A lot of teams that no one thought would be the playoffs were in the playoffs, including your Eagles, too. No one thought Nick Sirianni was going to have that type of season. I mean, you got Jalen Hurts, which Eagles fans, like, I don't know if he's our guy or anything. I mean, he's still not Jalen. You don't have Jalen Waddle. No.
Devontae Smith.
Yeah, Devontae Smith, rookie receiver. I don't really know. That was very surprising. Odd. I was trying to think of the other teams. I mean, they hate the 49ers even. They kind of put together a good way. You know, Jimmy G.
You know, the playoffs too, you know, just speaking of San Francisco and all that, I know you said the playoffs were really exciting. The playoffs were also weird. You know, it didn't, you know, all these talks about, oh, every game came down to a final kick. Most of these games, besides the Kansas City Buffalo game, didn't get exciting until there were 4 minutes left in the game. You know, really, if you look at it, obviously that's clutch time. But, you know, the Niners were up 17-7 on the Rams. And, you know, just speaking about the Rams really quickly, you know, obviously Brady goes back and, you know, comes back in the divisional round, and then they blow the coverage and Cooper Kupp gets wide open. And then, you know, you talk about the NFC Championship game, Stafford throws the ball to Jaquisti Tartt, and literally the Niners catch that ball. We're having a different conversation right now, no matter what, because it's Niners-Bengals in the Super Bowl, not Niners-Rams. So I felt like it was a season of destiny. It kind of felt like for the Rams, you kind of felt that in the playoffs, they got a little lucky. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. And yeah, I mean, we talked about how great the playoffs were and how wide open the AFC is. Next season's going to be more interesting because you have all these young studs in the AFC. And then in the NFC, it's Green Bay and it's maybe the Rams, you know, their roster may change a little bit. And then it's really a open field of, you know, 14 teams. And who wants to grab that perennial, you know, glass ceiling and try to go for the Lombardi Trophy? So as we know, when the season starts next season, it's 32 teams and it's anyone's ball game. But great NFL season this year, I must say.
Yeah. Agree with you that I think it is anyone's game, and not just the AFC, but the NFC too. Because first of all, the Packers, we don't know what's happening with Aaron Rodgers. We don't know if he's staying or is he leaving. The rumors have maybe Denver, because their offensive coordinator is now the head coach there. Who really knows? The NFL season all wrapped up. Can't believe it. Got to wait 5 more months, about 3.5 months till training camp. Got 2 months till the NFL draft in Vegas. But just what a season it was. I can't wait to get back at it. I mean, even college football, I know we're not talking about that. That ended a month ago, but still, that was an incredible season too, what went on in all of college football. Just, you're just going to miss so much of it. You're going to have to just be watching highlights. You'll probably watch the Eagles Super Bowl one time during this next couple months. I know that.
You know, actually, Enzo, I haven't watched the full game back. I have not watched the full game back. I don't really watch NFL highlights during the season. You know, in my mind, it's a time to reset. It's a time to, you know, go in and get focused on the NBA. We got March Madness coming up, which I know you guys love March Madness here at Pass the Mic. You know, obviously, it's WrestleMania season, biggest time of the year in wrestling. So there's going to be some stuff that will keep me busy while we are transitioning here into the offseason of football.
Yeah. Transitioning in for sure into the NBA now, and the NBA All-Star game coming to Cleveland this weekend. You know, you got the Friday night event with the Celebrity All-Star game, the Rising Stars, and then of course the Saturday night with the Skills Challenge 3-point and dunk contest, and then of course the All-Star game on Sunday. But the big news coming out today, that Cavaliers center Jared Allen, an NBA All-Star, replacing James Harden in it, and well deserved for him. I knew it was going to be hard for him to get the fan vote, which is why he didn't make the cut. But I knew it, once, you know, people would, you know, injuries and stuff would come up, I knew he would get a spot. And finally, he was the last one to make it. And two Cavaliers representing Cleveland in Cleveland for the All-Star game, first time since 2018.
Enzo, it's crazy because I've been telling people, you know, everybody's shocked about, you know, the Bengals going from, you know, last place to first place and obviously making it to the Super Bowl. Well, they do have one reason to be optimistic. They had Joe Burrow. With this Cleveland Cavaliers team, I never expected in my wildest dreams, I would have bet so much money that it would have been more likely for the Cavs to miss the playoffs than for the Cavs to be positioned 2 games back in the number one seed at this point in the season. It's absolutely amazing. Me and my co-host Joey Schneider on the All Things Cavs podcast from Elite Win Media every single week. Make sure to go check us out. Follow us on Twitter at All Things Cavs. Same as plug right there. I apologize, people, but it's the true best Cavs podcast in Cleveland. Go check us out. This team just absolutely unbelievable. They play unselfish basketball, and you're going to get Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and LeBron bleeping James on the same court Sunday night. To be honest with you, Enzo, I'm not the biggest fan of the All-Star weekend and the All-Star activities. During COVID, I actually thought maybe they stopped doing it because, you know, I did not miss it at all. I think that it's all a money stunt. I think the dunk contest, I'm going to be honest with you, I think the dunk contest is trash. I think the skills contest is a gimmick, and I think the 3-point contest is a waste of time. And I think the All-Star game without any stakes is a waste of time. I think that it's just a money grab. I think it's a way to get these players in the same city. It's going to be good for Cleveland because you know, our economy is going to boom, and it's going to be good for the city, but besides seeing Darius Garland, LeBron, and J.A. on the same court at the same time, I'm not really excited for the All-Star weekend. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Okay, I totally feel that. I mean, I'm just excited just the way they're going to be showing Cleveland on a national stage and stuff. I know not the biggest fan of many of the events. I mean, I do like the Saturday night contest, the 3-point skills challenge, slam dunk. That's always fun. I've never been the biggest fan of the All-Star game in general. I'll probably have it on, watch the beginning, because it is the 75th year of the NBA, and they'll be honoring you know, the NBA legends and stuff, and they'll be showing Cleveland and all that. So I'd probably watch like the first half, see Darius Garland and Jared Allen play with Team LeBron. I think that would be pretty cool. I mean, I know LeBron will probably give a speech or something because, you know, he's from Akron, Ohio, and will mention his I Promise School and all that because, you know, it's LeBron being LeBron. But then the Friday night events, I don't know. Celebrity All-Star Games, kind of eh. There's not too many names you really know other than Myles Garrett, Machine Gun Kelly, Booby Gibson, and Anderson Varejao, and the mayor of Cleveland, too. Very interesting celebrity game. And then the Rising Stars, that depends. It's usually good, but it could be like the NBA All-Star Game, too. I mean, it's just a big event coming to Cleveland. You're going to get a lot of people coming from all different parts of the country. So that was beyond Cleveland. And a fun fact, this is like the Cleveland's hosted like in 6 years. Cleveland's hosted like multiple NBA finals, a World Series, MLB All-Star Game, the NFL Draft, now the NBA All-Star Game in 6 years. That's a lot for Cleveland. And we've done a good job with all of them so far. Now that we get to close it out with the NBA All-Star Game.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard anything bad about Cleveland from the national media in that perspective. You know, I think everybody is going to do great. I think it's going to be, again, fun for the city. I do wish that the All-Star Game had some stakes to it. You know, I'm currently writing that article up right now for Cleveland Media. You know, make it very similar to what the MLB All-Star Game used to be. You know, when the winning side would get home field advantage in the World Series, for that you would have to obviously make it East versus West again. But just give it some stakes, because you're playing for charity. Like, they'll play hard in the fourth quarter, maybe, you know, to get that target score. But until then, there's not really a point to really watch it. It's just alley-oops and dunks. It's not basketball. You know, the MLB All-Star Game used to be the best All-Star Game because they literally tried, because the players wanted their home field advantage for their conference in the World Series. And now that's turned into a joke because there is no competitive advantage. So I think if the NBA did something like that, you know, we could see some teams in the All-Star Game. And until we do, it's going to be a great night for Cleveland. It's going to be fun to see Darius Garland and you know, Evan Mobley and J.A. compete in that skills challenge against Team Rookie and the Giannis brothers. But, you know, it'll be fun for us, but, and it's going to be good for making money for the city of Cleveland. But besides that, yeah, I could really care less.
Yeah, totally agree with you that, man. Before we end the show, we got to do, of course.
What are you doing, Drunky?
Drunky of the week. Okay. And this Super Bowl wasn't really any drunky, like, notable things. Like, I always say, like, you know, Pete Carroll deciding to pass on the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. So that was a drunky move. Falcons really blowing the Super Bowl 51. I'm trying to think what else. I don't know. Maybe the Patriots.
Super Bowl 52. Can I give you one from this Super Bowl?
Yes.
The Rams calling the Philly special play.
Oh, that, yeah, the Rams did that. That was a bad.
I understand the Rams won the game, but Sean McVay, you think you're cute trying to steal my play in the Super Bowl in a bad spot. If you're going to do it on the goal line. Don't do it on first down in the middle of the field. Like, I don't know. I thought it was a bad call, but you're right. There was really – There was no big games from anybody, right? Like, Cooper Kupp only had 90 yards receiving. Yeah, he had 2 touchdowns, but he only had 90 yards receiving. Burrow didn't have that many passing yards. You know, Stafford really, I think it was, what, 270 passing yards. So not a lot of big games, not a ton of big plays, not a lot of mistakes. Your biggest drunkie of the week is probably the referees at the end of the game.
What are you doing, drunkie?
Yeah, I was going to go with the referees, or even just Roger Goodell in general, just him, you know, who knows what goes behind the scenes, the NFL. I remember just way people were seeing the playoff games and stuff on social media. People were tweeting like, oh my gosh, the NFL has script writers in these games since every game is coming out on the wire. And that's how this one did. So I'm going to have to say Roger Goodell and the NFL referees, just the way they kind of orchestrated this whole season and just make it so spectacular and everything, and how they got so much money from this Super Bowl, as they always do.
For sure, yeah. You know, I personally don't think that the NFL is rigged. I think it just happens that the average NFL game, you know, is 3 points per game. It just happened that we got some great playoff games here. Usually doesn't happen. Last year's Super Bowl, obviously, was the Bucs-Chiefs walk. Just glad that we got a good game. And, you know, congratulations to Matthew Stafford and congratulations to Aaron Donald and Sean McVay and all those Rams. They are the champions of the world, and they deserve it.
Yeah, they are. And, Brandon, before you leave, you want to shout out your socials. Of course, you got Brandon's World, but I know you're involved in so much other things now.
Sure. So I'm just going to go step by step here. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at BrandonLewis_7. That's my personal account. Make sure to follow the Twitter of the show at Real_BWorld. We just wrapped up season 5 of the Brandon's World podcast, which of course Enzo was a part of that season 5 back in October. And we're going to bring you on in season 6 when we start back up again in March, talking all things the NBA, MLB, and NFL draft. And then make sure to follow at all things Cavs on Twitter. Make sure to go to BelieveWinMediaLLC.com. Check out all my content on not only our great surprising Cleveland Cavaliers, but all things Cleveland sports.
All right, man. Brandon, thanks for coming.
I learned one thing since I've been here. You got to fight.